in Iran, but also some protests in the U.S. in Los Angeles. In particular, they're not happy with the situation and want America much more involved instead of the policy of not meddling that President Obama has thrown down. There are people in the United States that would like to see something come out of the United States other than that from the president. And you certainly know how I feel about that. We've talked about that on this show really this whole week. We'll dive into Mousavi and the ultimatum that he's going to face ultimately, because is he going to stand beside whatever the supreme leader says during prayers in a show of some kind of unity for Iran, or will he stay away, which would signify that he's not willing to accept the results, and there are plenty of people rallying behind this new reform movement and saying that that election was bogus. So hundreds and hundreds of thousands, pretty somber in the streets of Iran, and it doesn't look like it's going away anytime soon. And strange as it is, a little thing called Twitter. Some of you who are sitting there who aren't very technology savvy of all the social networking things that come down the pike, and you know it moves at the speed of light anymore, Twitter is starting to become very big. In fact, there was just a huge story on it on the cover of Time magazine, I want to say a week and a half ago. But that is what protesters are doing. They're Twittering out of that country. In other words, what a Twitter is saying exactly what's happening and sending links, just a couple of characters. Here's what's going on in the streets. People are protesting. Somebody was clubbed, whatever it might be, but they are hanging on big time to that and trying to send links to photos that way as well. Well, lo and behold, with so many things happening across this great land and, of course, overseas as well, things that we're concerned about, somehow this kind of gets lost in the sauce among everything. But Iraqi forces officially take the reins over what's going on in Baghdad, etc., at the tail end of this month, and we are rapidly approaching that date. Do you believe it? The U.S. withdrawal from the cities, a huge deal. Will this system hold up? The system that so many in the United States gave their lives for, limbs for, etc., and of course we gave a ton of money in this effort. Will the government hold up in Iraq, both the military and of course the police force there? We'll know as it gets closer and closer to that countdown time, because they're starting to pull out of those cities. You know, it takes time to roll those tanks out, roll the stuff back, and then of course switch some of the troops to Afghanistan, as Afghanistan in the fall will add another, our troops will be pumped into there more, double the amount on the ground now, so it'll be 30,000 more, which would make over 60,000 in Afghanistan. Closer to home, a lot of people dealing with, of all things, weather. In the Northeast, can you hear it? In the Northeast, I was talking to my family today, and my mother said she was not kidding. She was going to need a boat to get out of the house, that it was ridiculous. And she lives in Philadelphia, but Philadelphia, New York, all over the Midwest, two parts of the Midwest, are getting just slammed by massive amounts of rain. That row, row, row your boat applies to so many. I always tell you, on this show, America Tonight, we are bound to talk about weather at least three or four times a week, because we all deal with it, right? So there is a point where you get waterlogged. I don't know how the people in Seattle deal with it. Seattle's beautiful. I've been there three times, and every single time the people were great. I had a great time. It was wonderful. But every single time I was in Seattle, I dealt with rain, and yet I noticed that if it was light rain, people really weren't so concerned about umbrellas. But a much different story in the Northeast, as people are there with their galoshes and everything else, because this is the sounds that they're hearing day in and day out. In fact, it's so bad that the U.S. Open, our U.S. Open of golf, the PGA, is being held in a place in Long Island called Bethpage Black. It's an incredible course. People line up to just play on this course, and they were soaked. I don't even know how they swung their clubs today. Finally, they called it, but they did play. Some of the players got through some of the holes. It's going to be a very long weekend if it continues to rain this way for that tournament. And I was thinking about this. How many days of rain can you go through before you do start to feel that black cloud of depression that hovers over top? It just hovers around. You know what I'm talking about there? Matt, have you had to deal with a lot of rain in your lifetime growing up in Minnesota?
Lots of snow.
I know. But snow doesn't depress you, right?
No, it depends on what the light, fluffy snow, and it can be pretty and fun to play around. But then when it's just a blizzard and all the wind, and it's like negative 20 outside, then that gets depressing.
Yeah, I would have to agree with you. That when you think of Minnesota, you do think of snow. It's like tornadoes. Every area has their things that they're indigenous to weather-wise. It's like the rain, as I mentioned, in Seattle, why the East is so panicked and saying, I'm just going to stop this rain because you've got storms really, really dampening the spirits of people they're not used to. Sure, they've dealt with rain, but day after day in sloshing around in it, it's been a muddy, muddy season for a lot of people in the Midwest. People listening to us in North Dakota, the streets are swamped. The storm sewers get stressed. You have a lot of stalled cars. That's what happens. Roadways get shut down. Do you know in New York, rainfall has totaled 5.32 inches so far this month? That is double the normal, double for this period of this time of year. So that whole rain thing. And as I said, in Philadelphia, obviously it's awful. They thunderstorms constantly. And in Philly, they've had 3.40 inches of rain so far this month. Do you know what normal is for there? And I wonder why my mother mentioned the rain thing to me. 1.81 is the normal reading for them. Hartford, I know we have a lot of people listening to us in Connecticut. They're getting slammed by the weather as well. And I guess what's happening is you have this high-altitude jet stream that pushes the movement of the weather across the country, and it's been south of the normal position over the last couple of weeks. So you had these storms across the Midwest and the East. It's kind of, as the weather people would tell you, sort of like an extended spring. And for whatever reason it is, it's acting out, and it's an extension. It's a good description. It's an extension of spring weather. And in Seattle, people are used to that. It's damp, damp, damp. But you know what's weird? They're going through a dry spell. They're having a super dry spell. And to say super in front of dry and call it a spell for Seattle, very unusual. Speaking of unusual, I think the attention given to the fly and Obama is crazy, but actually funny now with this twist with PETA. We'll talk about that and also what happened in space. Oh, baby, we got it for you next on America Tonight.
Love that marriage. Love that marriage.
Now playing on WebTalkRadio.net.
Welcome to Love and Marriage Radio. I'm Mae Chambers, the mom.
And I'm Erica Chambers, the daughter.
On our show, we talk about real things that all of us do to either make or break our relationship.
So when a guy calls me high maintenance, he's not talking about my car.
Join the fun on Love and Marriage Radio.
They doing all right.
Now playing on WebTalkRadio.net.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a silver dollar in a book explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold for your IRA? That's right. Gold has been available to be placed in IRAs since 1986. Yet still, the financial industry refuses to recognize the value of real hard assets for your retirement. The truth be told, gold and silver has outperformed paper investments like stocks, bonds, and CDs, yet no word about IRAs. Perhaps the financial institutions want to maintain control of your assets by keeping you in paper. If you'd like to take a look at gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low return on your paper investments. Call 800-686-2237. Make sure that you secure your future. Call 800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
You've probably heard about the incredible, powerful, and natural antioxidants found in red wine. Unfortunately, not everyone is able to drink a glass of wine each day. Now, you don't have to drink even a single drop, thanks to NuRev. NuRev is America's number one anti-aging supplement, thanks to its active ingredient, resveratrol. Resveratrol is the main nutrient found in red wine and has been proven to help slow down the aging process, help you lose weight, override an unhealthy lifestyle, boost your energy level, and so much more. NuRev has been the subject of some of the most exciting anti-aging research in decades and has only recently become available in purified form. Now, you can discover the amazing health benefits of NuRev for free. Just pay to have NuRev shipped to you. Get your free sample now at NuRevOnline.com. That's N-U-R-E-V Online.com. NuRevOnline.com. Improve your life today.
I feel like I'm in a disco. Hey, everybody. Kate, hanging with you here on America Tonight. Anybody into the space scene anymore? I kind of dig it. I do. But not... I used to really like it as a kid. It was fascinating to me. But I think people don't pay attention to what's going on with NASA as much as they used to. And did you realize for the first time in a decade, NASA sent a rocket to the moon? Yeah. And this is just that prep work for sending a manned mission in 2020. So I'm going to let you hear a little bit of this. Picture yourself.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Main engine ignition and liftoff of the Atlas V rocket with LRO LCROSS, America's first step of a lasting return to the moon.
And we have the pitch program in. Take the quadrants, look good. RD-180, Southwing 1. Pump and feed are stable. Vector pressures look good. Bus and battery voltages are stable. Tank pressures look good. RD-180 is continuing to operate well.
All right, pretty cool. I wanted you to hear that whole stretch. So, hey, if you haven't heard anything lately from NASA, you just can say right now you heard on America Tonight what happened earlier in the day that shot out of Cape Canaveral, Florida. Here's the deal. It's what they're going to do is they're going to use robotic probes to hunt for hidden ice. And this is the first step in the whole moon thing in the effort to return man to the moon by 2020. So the Atlas V rocket carries two spacecraft that blasted off in the afternoon. That's what you just heard there. And this is a $583 million mission, okay? So they'll get to the moon in 4 to 5 days or maybe by next week. It'll enter an orbit around the moon for that mapping mission. And then the other will swing past the moon and go into an orbit around Earth that will actually put it on a course to crash into a crater at the moon's south pole in October. So what they're trying to see, obviously, is whether frozen water is buried in one of the permanently shadowed craters that you see. But it would be a huge resource, obviously, for those astronauts. So you heard what I said. Here's the thing. You heard what I said about the money. And you know what's going on in the United States with the woes that we have happening here. And my goodness, we're just printing money like we're throwing candy out in the streets because how much money are we printing? You see how the dollar's being devaluated. But be that as it may, let's just look at the amount. $583 million for this mission. Anybody listening to me not real psyched about the whole NASA thing and, okay, yeah, we'll go back to the moon and there's things we could discover. But is there anybody listening that thinks this could be a way to save money? So why do we have to pump all this money into the space program? What specifically will it do for you and me that we absolutely need in a time when we critically need cash, when we need money for other things? And what a politician, well, they wouldn't say that to you. I shouldn't say that. But what some people would say would be, well, $583 million is nothing when you're talking about the billions that we've spent on so many other things, so many useless things, that's nothing. And it's so unusual for this two-for-one moonshot deal. And what the stuff that could be learned from it could ultimately be invaluable here on the Earth. That's the argument that you would get back. Again, it's not really that much money. And here's the thing that's interesting. I mean, it's interesting, and to me, I would say it is a drop in the bucket. I mean, for me to have that amount of money, or you to have that amount of money, or California to get some money to help them, but that still wouldn't put a dent in what they need either. I get looking at the money that way, but I think ultimately what it could mean for the future and the whole idea of the space exploration, you don't want to just drop that. So you think of this lunar crater observation and sensing satellite, right? And as I said, that what you could possibly learn from that. I mean, how do you get, as somebody said in an article I read, how do you get something that's been in the dark for maybe a billion or 2 billion years out to study it? So it's that shadowed crater. And by careening into it, imagine what'll happen. The impact's going to send material up into the sunlight, vaporizing probably ice or any traces of water or any of that kind of stuff. I don't know. I think it's pretty cool. Matt, I'm going to use you as my guinea pig because you're a different generation than me. Does anybody in your crowd even know anything about space exploration? Would they care about space?
Not really, I don't think. It's not that big of a deal. Because when when my earliest memories of the whole space thing was, what was it, the Challenger crash in 86 or 87.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, I've got pretty much nothing. Because when you think about the missions that they've had, you know, in the 60s, they're going to the moon and all this stuff is brand new. Now it's, another shuttle's going up in the air, and as long as they make it there and back safely, they went to the space station and did a couple things. Not really exciting, you know?
All right, but here could be exciting for your generation. How about this? What if America Tonight raises money through a nonprofit organization and we do something to help other people, which, of course, we already are both doing that in other things that we do in our lives, right? But they've got ground that's actually now been broken on this New Mexico spaceport. And you can go, people are going to be launched into space for about $200,000. Do you think your friends would want to go into space?
A couple of them probably. Not me.
You don't want to go into space?
I don't think I'd handle it well. I got too much ADD and kind of claustrophobia. I like to be out doing different things, and I think I'd just go crazy. I wouldn't pass the psychological evaluation to get up into space.
But listen, the flight only lasts 2 hours, and it's 5 minutes of weightlessness.
I don't know.
And this is what the deal is. You lift off from a 10,000-foot runway spacecraft, takes flight, right? It's attached to an airplane, then it breaks free, and it rockets 62 miles into space before it returns down to the Earth.
I don't know.
And the spaceport's going to be like an airport, so that's what it's going to look like.
I don't know if I could do that. I'm still trying to get the nerve to go skydiving. Because I've had a couple of my buddies that have been skydiving about 3 or 4 different times, and they've been trying to get me to go. But I got this thing with heights, and I don't know, jumping out of a perfectly good airplane.
Well, start dealing with it, and we'll see if we can get you that space port, because
right.
It's going to be completed next summer, and they're going to be ready for tenants pretty soon. They're going to be ready for passengers on that launch pad for those rockets. So, you know, we could try to get you up there. But you'll have to get over a few things before we even approach that.
I'll have to get some help dealing with my adversities to going up into space first.
Well, see, here's the thing. We'll have the ATN head shrinker on Judith Barr, and we'll see if we can get you
straighten
over
my mind
it.
Out.
Mm-hmm. Get you right mentally, because you're a little younger than I am, and you know, they've asked me if I was interested in it, but I'm willing to sacrifice my seat to you.
All right, sounds like a deal.
All right, let's get Matt into space and get his generation interested in this stuff again. Sounds silly, but as I said, with the kind of money that I mentioned, are some of you thinking, geez, do we need to have these flights? You heard Matt. I mean, that's the prime example. Nothing big, another shuttle, because that's exactly how you would think in your 20s. Nothing big has happened that would make you think about it if you're unfamiliar with what's going on in space. Hang with us.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. And I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You're listening to GCN, the Genesis Communication Radio Network.
When you hear the words water purification, what comes to mind? If it's Berkey Water Purification Systems, this message is for you. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water contains fluoride at less than 2 cents per gallon? Berkey water filters purify treated and untreated water, remove dangerous chlorine, fluoride, and contaminants from municipal water. These filters are powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water, making them perfect for rainwater collection systems. From the smallest to the largest systems, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has what you need. With your system purchase, you'll receive a shower filter, a fluoride filter, or 2-sport Berkey bottles absolutely free. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com would like to offer GCN listeners 5% off all ceramic filter systems and ship all orders over $50 free of charge. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY today.
If you owe the IRS, you can't make the problem go away without professional help. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been solving tax debt problems for 30 years, and I can help you too. We can stabilize IRS collection action and get your tax debt reduced, sometimes completely eliminated. And if you received a 1099 from a bank because of mortgage or other debt forgiveness, the vast majority of the time, I can show you how to completely erase it so you pay no taxes on what the IRS will consider to be taxable income. Call us for a free consultation to discuss the many possibilities. Call 1-800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NOTAX. Or go to my website at taxhelponline.com.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you. Call us today, 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset, so try it today. Store it today and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
You got to listen to Kate late at night, yes. You got to listen because nothing else compares to Kate. Nada más compara con Kate. America Tonight, there's nothing else that compares with the Kate Show. Better than CNN, ABC, NBC, MSNBC, even better than Fox. Right, are you dancing now, Kate? Huh?
All right, that's Tomas. Can we have some applause from the studio audience? We got to wake them up. They're all taking a Zicam. They have no sense of smell, but certainly they know what's happening. Ah, yes, we love Tomas. So that was a song that he wrote for the show. Hey, Tomas, how you doing in Michigan?
How you doing, Super Lady?
See, look at the cred you're getting on this show. We just played your song, everything.
I don't know what to do. My children are going, wow, that sounds like Dad. But anyway. I can't believe I was just on Free Republic looking at this lunar thing about they're going to hit it with a rocket and see the dust come up, and then you start
right.
talking about it. And, Matt is a young guy. He doesn't know what space exploration. He's never seen it, really, you know. I mean, we're setting up these little tinker toys up there, you know, and snooping around like we're afraid, like, you know, Frankenstein is going to come out of Mars or Moon and eat us up. In the 70s, ask Matt how many men we put on the moon. Matt, do you know?
Yeah, Matt, how many men have we put on the moon?
I do not know the total number, but I think we had, like, what?
12 men.
Oh, 12?
Yes.
Okay.
12 men.
A dozen.
I was going to say there's a...
And two SUVs, okay? So... I mean, and since then, we have done, it's like Columbus going to America and then getting to the shore and then said, okay, we're going to let these dogs go and snoop around there. We'll tie a long rope to them and let them snoop around for a couple of days, and we'll bring them back and we'll analyze their stomach, to give you an idea, when we, in the 1970s, we sent up two landers to Mars. They were called Vikings. They were huge, you know, big, and they were looking for life, you know?
Right.
And we were getting ready to explore Mars. We put men on Mars. I mean, if you want to find intelligent life on another planet, put a man and a woman on there, you know, instead of trying to dig down and find a micro thing that, you know, might have been there or frozen in water or come on. You know, we had these Viking craft go down there, and they had an experiment, Kate, where they were going to look for life. And one was they were going to get an example of soil, put it in the lab right there on the spacecraft. Then they were going to put like a soup, a microorganism would eat, you know, something in there on the soil, and they were going to wait a reaction. In other words, if there was a microbe in there, you know, the act of consuming that nutrient, it would expel some gases, and they would, you know, check for that. Well, they found some gases. Then they had a backup test. They were going to, you know, do like a double test. They were going to then heat it up to kill it.
Right.
Okay. And then they came out and they found some inconclusive results. Whoa, it looks like, I don't know, what is it? So they called it exotic chemistry because they didn't know what it was, but there was something in there. And then many years later, they took the same equipment they had on the Viking and put it on Antarctica, and it couldn't find any microbes. And then when they put, you know, 2009 equipment down there in Antarctica, they, you know, they found all kinds of microbes. So, you know, but nowadays they're drilling rocks and trying to do history. We need to do something like Kennedy said. You know what? In 10 years, I want to put man on Mars or something like that, or I want to put a colony on the moon. You know, of course,
and we didn't do it.
Yeah, the young people are not going to be interested in watching these little toys. You know, wow, today it moved 47 feet. Whoa.
Yeah, they don't care. Mm-mm.
You know, that's nothing. And we need to, as Americans, as the last bastion of freedom, we need to meddle in outer space before someone else does.
We do. That's right. Right there, you said it much better than I said it, my friend. We need to meddle before someone else does. And because what is the key to life? Water.
Yeah. And, you know, well, the reason we got involved in the space race is because we didn't want to see a Russian flag on the moon. Okay?
That's right.
And, you know, right now, if you go anywhere and talk to any military person, the main thing you want to have is air superiority. You know, we've even got little planes that are robot planes that they'll blow you up, and the guy that is controlling the plane is in Nevada, and the plane is in Iraq. You know, and can you imagine if you know some other country is controlling outer space, and you know, sooner or later something is going to hit this world.
That's right, that's right. And you think of the technology that I was talking the other day about the GPS satellites and what's up there in the orbits, et cetera. We have to move. We cannot be behind in the race in space. We can't. You're absolutely 100% right.
You know what? Young people need to be motivated, you know?
Right.
When they go to college and you see them taking business administration.
Ah, and ORCOM, yeah.
You know, but if you say, you know, we're going to put a colony on Mars, boom, and this is the day we're going to do it. You know, and let's do it. You know, people will get motivated. Young people, you might lose Matt. He might move out to, you know, NASA and start working. I mean, one more thing, Kate. Do you know that we are already teleporting things?
We're already teleporting things.
We are teleporting.
Experimentally, not anything big, though.
No, but they're teleporting protons.
Right.
And 4 years ago, they were doing that. So who knows what they're doing now that we don't know, okay?
Yeah. No, I agree. I agree. Now, you made some great points, Tomas. You have a fabulous weekend.
You too.
Thanks for the call. I'm glad that he called. He was very aware of the whole idea of space. And as he said, a dozen men, again, on the moon. And you think of Tom Hanks had that whole thing about Apollo. And you think of some of the movies that have been made about space and the whole idea of space, even the Space Cowboys movie, something to get people interested in a way. Of course, it's Hollywoodized in space. The Tom Hanks series was much more about what actually happened. It was brilliant. But that's the idea. Whatever comes behind, whatever generation is behind, that's the generation that has to be involved in the future. So if if everybody in their 20s could care less about NASA, could care less about space exploration, not excited about it, don't know a damn thing about it, well, then that shows you where things could be headed. And there's always a big battle for bucks, because a lot of the weighing of the future of what to do with the organization and how much to spend, and they're always battling for money, because it costs a lot of money, obviously. So there has to be something that gets people jazzed about it. And I think Tomas really explained it well. We don't want to be behind on that race. But at what point, when you look at financially where you're at, do you say, do we need, prove to me why, you scientists, prove to me why we have to do this, and ultimately what it will mean for our citizens and for the United States, as a country, for the United States of America. I'll tell you, we moved from the whole moon thing to this deal that happened in New York City that made me think about this. And I guarantee there's people listening to me in Iowa and Connecticut and Illinois and other places where this has happened. But have you ever been on a train or been in a public situation in some kind of a park or some other situation where you have seats and somebody takes up all the seats? Like they're saving seats, or they have all this crap with them and they put all their stuff down over the seats. Well, this is interesting. What they're doing, and I'm saying this about New York City because, of course, they have the most public transportation, but a lot of people take public transportation, subway and bus riders and all that sort of stuff. Well, there's this new campaign, and this just came out the other day, about New York was the rudest city when it came to motorists. So we know the people in the cars were rude, right? But in New York, they're trying to get rid of this whole rude thing on the subways. So they have a campaign out to remind bus riders and the subway folks to give up reserved seats to the older people or the disabled. And if you refuse to do that, you get fined up to $50. And you could even, if you're like in a repeat offender, you could get up to 10 days in jail. And they're seriously going to crack down on this. So they have signs up all over the place, because what happens is that sometimes people get on the subways and the buses and the other stuff that I just described, and they have a whole bunch of bags or whatever, and they put it on the seats, and then they let people come in, and they've got stuff covering up the seats. Or the seats are supposed to be for the reserve seats. They're supposed to be for people who have problems, people who are in a walker, people who have some kind of disability, and they don't do anything. They're so brutal. They just let the people stand there and swing away on the subway. So, man, good for the MTA for doing that. And I know, like I said, I know in the Midwest and other places, you know what I'm talking about, because this happens. Unfortunately, it probably happens way too much. If I'm on, it's not that I'm some good Samaritan, oh, woe is me, but I guess it's just in the raising thing, but how my mother raised me, but I would always give up my seat if I were in that situation. And I'm surprised that so many people don't do that. It makes no sense to me, and especially with the covering up. So they think that they're going to end up getting a lot of money out of this. It's a way to raise money for New York City, because it'll tell you whether people are too rude there. Hang with us. We're going to talk about Obama and the fly next.
How would you like to cook any meal using no electricity or gas, and cook your meals off the grid? Well, now you can, thanks to the Survival Oven. The Survival Oven is the most amazing off-grid solar oven that can cook anything that a conventional oven can without the energy bills. By condensing sunlight, the Survival Oven can produce temps up to 350 degrees, cook delicious and nutritious meals, sterilize water, dehydrate food, and so much more. All at zero operating costs. The survival oven can be used year-round, even in the coldest sub-zero temperatures, and is a must for emergency preparedness and even everyday use. Visit survivaloven.com to get your very own survival oven. Order the survival oven now, and we'll get you started with two cooking pots and a recipe booklet absolutely free. At less than 10 pounds, you can take survival solar oven with you anywhere. Call 877-642-1553 or go to survivaloven.com. That's survivaloven.com.
If you've always wanted to experience the amazing benefits from using oil of oregano, the time to act is now. With so many places to choose from, where can you be 100% certain you're getting the highest quality oil for your dollar? The answer is simple. PureBulk.com. PureBulk.com brings you ultra-pure, non-diluted oil of oregano with 80% or better carvacrol. PureBulk.com also carries over 120 nutritional products, including atomic iodine, amino acids, herbal extracts, and heart health, all made with no fillers, additives, or fancy packaging, saving you 50 to 90% over store-bought supplements. With each order, PureBulk.com will send you one dram of atomic iodine, a 150-day supply, absolutely free. Just enter promotional code IODINE at website checkout. Visit PureBulk.com, that's PureBulk.com, or call 406-251-3270, 406-251-3270 today.
Life Change Tea detoxifies. GetTheTea.com. It's only about a dollar a day. GetTheTea.com. Receive more energy. GetTheTea.com. Lose weight. GetTheTea.com. It's purifying. GetTheTea.com. It works immediately. GetTheTea.com. It's too easy. GetTheTea.com. We challenge you. GetTheTea.com. What's the phone number? 928-308-0408. What did you say? 928-308-0408. I didn't get that. 928-308-0408. Will it work? Yes. GetTheTea.com. Unmatched. GetTheTea.com. This gets in your head. GetTheTea.com. That's the idea!
From coast to coast and everywhere in between. Of course, we've been talking about the financial situation, I don't know, probably 50% of the time since I have been doing this show the last couple of months on our new network, the Genesis Communications Network. That's when the, so to speak, you know what I'm talking about, hit the fan. Although it actually happened in the fall, and we've been pushing for what's, you know, what are they doing in Washington? Give me a break here in the whole bailout thing. Well, Obama's plan to transform basically the Federal Reserve into a super regulator is running into a lot of criticism, including from me and from many of you who have called as well, because so many are worried that the central bank is not really equipped to keep an eye on the firms who we had to bail out in the first place because they're gigantic. And obviously influential, and will that hurt the economy? I gave you specific reasons with mortgages and real estate, in the realm of real estate, and there are a lot of, I think, people that are in that world that will be affected by this. So Tim Geithner is trying to save the day and is pushing Obama's financial regulatory plan to give the feds more control, more authority, obviously, and create what I told you about in depth the other day, the Consumer Protection Agency that handles everything. I mean, your one-stop shop, that's it, period. Here's what Geithner said earlier.
We just didn't think it was essential to do just now, but it is an essential thing to do. Couldn't do it carefully enough, thoughtfully in this time frame. But as you know, Congress did legislate last year a comprehensive new oversight regime in place over those institutions. If that had been in place before, that might have helped mitigate this crisis. You know, there is some important signs of stability, some important signs of healing in the financial sector, but I think it's still early yet, premature to make that judgment.
All right, so like I said, there are, and we've played them for you too, there are a bunch of senators that are skeptical about this, and there are people that have called for a council instead of the one regulatory body, so that you would have a group of people looking at all these different agencies, because it's true, here would be the concern that the stuff will fall through the cracks again. You look at, you're going to put credit card stuff there, you're going to put credit card regulation, you're going to deal with all the things I said before, the mortgages, the banks, and all of a sudden it's an octopus with how many, what, 100 tentacles? So then you're putting that up to the Federal Reserve, or as I said, what it would officially what you would have would be that that Consumer Protection Agency. I think it's pretty dangerous as well. I mean, the overuse of the Fed for this task of the financial system, and then possibly dropping the ball on you and me, which is what I think would happen. I mean, it's an idea that's you could flush out, but I think the council idea is better. I think it's better to have a group of people, not just the Fed alone, to act on the risks that could harm the market. There is danger in that power. And obviously banking interests already are not happy with this. They're already complaining. They're already criticizing. It hasn't even happened yet. And these are the people that screwed the system up in the first place. So it's the same thing. We're chasing our tail around. The people who wanted the bailout, who screwed us up, are the same people that are pushing and arguing that consumers, you and me, shouldn't be protected even. I don't know. Here's the bottom line. Geithner was there for a reason. He's pushing the plan and trying to convince the lawmakers, the guys and gals on the Hill, that they need to go for this. But this is going to be a tough process. I don't think it's going to be rubber stamped, and that's a good thing. Absolutely. All right, some other odds and ends to tie up, and this is a big one. It's a big one because I can't believe how much it's blown up. All over today, everywhere I looked, there were conversations about Obama and the fly. Now, this happened a couple of days ago. It was on CNBC during an interview, and a fly was in the way of the president. He swatted it and killed it. Who knew that it would raise such a stink? Here's how it sounded.
The signature characteristic of our... sorry, I'm going to start over. I'm going to start at I Will Contrast. Hey, get out of here.
That's the most persistent fly I've ever seen. Nice.
Now, where were we?
Right there.
Right there. You want to film that? There it is.
All right, so they were filming it when he did that, and PETA, they were watching this or got a copy of it or whatever, so they want the president to do something more humane the next time. They're sending him a bug catcher. And see, if we had a fly in the studio, we could try to give an example of it on the air, but it is radio. But it's a device that allows users to trap a house fly and then release it. So you don't kill it. You don't fly swat it. None of that stuff, right? You don't roll up the magazine the old-fashioned way and slam it to the ground, and then you can't find the fly and can't find out if you killed it. Listen, I'm sorry, PETA. You didn't grow up around that Jersey Shore with those greenheads biting you, those flies. There's no trap for the greenheads. Anybody out there know anything about the greenheads? If you spend any time at the shore, you know what I mean. So PETA says that they have compassion for even the most curious, smallest, and least sympathetic animals. That was the statement that they released. And they weren't attacking the president other than to say they wish he hadn't done that and to send him the contraption. So this whole flap about the fly, I don't get it. But I think it's pretty funny that it became a big deal for PETA. I mean, see, it shows you again the extremes that organizations go to. And PETA, actually, with the whole testing of the animals, some of the inhumane things that happened for makeup and for other stuff, I think was great. But then, of course, they veer off into a completely ridiculous direction because, sorry, I'm not with you there on the fly. I mean, what are a bunch of kooks running that organization or what? I mean, please, at what point do you stop? At what point do you stop pushing cruelty to animals? What if a mosquito lands on you, right? And you think of West Nile, are you allowed to kill a mosquito? Because obviously that's not a creature that you really want on you. Please. I don't know, Matt, what do you think? Do you like the idea of letting the fly back into the wild, just capturing it in the bug catcher and letting it go?
I don't think we're on a shortage of flies, so I don't think it's that big of a deal.
No, I don't think so either. All I have to do is take Mahalo out, and if he has to go to the bathroom, boy, those flies are all over him in a second.
Yeah, it's kind of a funny, relatable story. Right now in the studio, I've been battling some wicked flying ants.
Now, you are killing them, I hope, right? Or, oh, maybe I shouldn't say that on the air.
Yes,
I'm sure I'll get something from PETA. I have before. So you are killing them. You're not trying to capture them and release them outside of the studio.
No. They got to go.
They got to go. Yeah, hey, anybody who knows anything about fire ants, flying ants or fire ants, you get some fire ants on you, it's not a pretty thing. If you saw that last Indiana Jones movie, remember the scene with the ants in that movie?
You actually went and saw that movie?
Reluctantly, trust me, it was not good. You know, that movie netted Harrison Ford like $65 million.
Yeah, well, he mailed it in, I guess.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, here's the problem with that movie. They waited too long to make it in the first place. So if you're going to make another one, it shouldn't have been all that time in between. There were a couple of interesting moments in it, like with the effects, but it was just not a good movie. Sorry. I hate to trash a cool guy like Harrison Ford, but I didn't like it. The original one was absolutely hands down the best surprise. When I went to see that, I had no idea what it was about, just a little, you know, bits and pieces of it, but boy, it was great. If you hang around the next hour, we've got a cheap movie review so you can find out what's coming out now to the movie theaters. Hang with us for the next hour.